series, and it's called Steady. And this is a word that I've thought about a lot over the last month of my life. Those of you that are a regular part of Hayward Wesleyan, you know that I haven't preached for about a month. That wasn't entirely intentional. Sometimes when you book out-of-town guests and whatnot, you take them when you can get them. And then we had some vacation in there and a little bit of everything else. And so I've had a month to think about this series, and I'm really glad that I have. The word that I've thought about this entire month is steady. Let's all say it together. Steady. We all need steady right now in our lives. I was reminded this week that in Haiti, their lives are anything but steady right now. They had an earthquake in the last couple weeks, 7.3, I believe, earthquake. And I wanted you to know a little bit of a story. Inga, I think I have a picture of that. You'll remember a couple years ago now, we raised some money during Missions Month to fund clean water projects around the world. We did some clean water wells that I believe went into Africa. And then also part of what we gave went to a clean water filtration plant that they were developing on the island of Laganav in Haiti. And we gave to that, and that, I've been to Laganav, my son Miles has been to Laganav, and I'm so encouraged. I received an announcement this week via email that in light of the earthquake, that water plant is a key distribution site for so many agencies. In fact, 249,817 liters, that's 65,000 gallons of water, has been distributed to folks who desperately need it. And we were part of that. We didn't know we were going to be part of that when we gave to that, but we are part of that. And I wanted you to know that your generosity right now is providing a sense of steady in the midst of it all. Now, all of us also are facing this reality of the world in which we live. And so I want to start this message with a simple prayer. Every week we'll pray this same prayer, and then I want to tell you a story this morning. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Father, you are good. You are good. And today, God, I need help. I need help to share what it is that you've given me to share. And today, God, we need help. There are people in our church that are facing significant illness, COVID and the like. And so today, God, I pray that you would help in every way. And we thank you, God, that you will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to show you a picture of a house. This is no ordinary house. This is the house where John and Caroline Rupp lived with their six children. They were kind of a Jathan and Becky Brubaker family. They filled this house full of kids. They lived a pretty peaceful life. They lived in this house in 1863, where they gathered in this house. All was peaceful for the Rupp family until the Battle of Gettysburg broke out. And their house sat on the fault line in the battle. Can you imagine what it's like to live in a house where the battle is literally happening all around you? John Rupp wrote a letter to his sister. He said in this letter that this battle that was happening was a, quote, warm and uncomfortable situation. John Rupp has a way with words. He said that on the day that the battle began, there were 330 cannons on the north side of the house, and there were even more than that on the opposite side of the house. And oh, by the way, these cannons were shooting cannonballs at one another over the house. Becky, can you imagine trying to put the kids to bed in that? They're shooting cannonballs over the house. He said that as the battle went on, the troops approached the house and they were shooting at each other through the house. John Rupp said there were bullets in the bedstead. The bedstead was riddled with bullets. I don't know what a bedstead is, but I'm guessing it's the headboard of the bed. John went on to write these words. The Yankees, as he called it, were on the north. And the Rebs, he called them, they were in the south. And they were shooting at each other. He said these words to his sister, I myself retreated to the cellar. So you could see, he said, that I was on neutral ground. That's some house. When I was thinking about John Rupp, I thought to myself, all of us, I think, can relate a little bit to what John Rupp experienced. On the front porch of the house, you have people with one opinion. And on the back porch of the house, you have people with another opinion. On the front porch of the house, you have people who say this is the way the world should be. And on the back porch of the house, you have people who say this is the way the world should be. I'm not taking either side on these matters in this moment, but on one side of the house you have masks, and on the other side you have no masks. On one side of the house you have individual rights, and on the other side of the house you have public health. On one side of the house you have free and fair elections, and on the other side of the house you have voter ID for everybody. On one side of the house you have open the border, and on the other side of the house you have build a wall. Everywhere you look, it's like we're on opposite sides of the house, and bullets are flying. Have you noticed that? Have you been on social media lately? The bullets that are flying are words and opinions and posts and memes. And there's so much division, and there's so little middle ground. And if we were all telling the truth, we'd kind of want to be like John Rupp and retreat to the cellar. We'd want to go downstairs. William Goldstein is a social researcher. I promise this message is going to get better, by the way. William Goldstein is a social researcher, and he said these words. He said, never in the last 150 years has our country been so deeply divided and so closely divided. And he looks at a number of factors that measure that. We are deeply divided and we are closely divided. He said, we are in the midst of what he calls a cold civil war, which is better than a hot civil war, but we are in the midst of a cold civil war. We are deeply divided. Foundational truths to what we believe as people and how we think as humans, these are significant issues. These are like the plates of the earth as they move. And we're closely divided. So closely that elections that once had measurable gaps. Remember when they used to call the election at 8 o'clock at night and you could just go to bed? And now you have to stay up for 4 days until they call that thing. It's ridiculous. We are deeply divided, and we are closely divided. There's a scene in a movie. I don't recommend that you watch this movie with your children. There's a scene in a movie called Black Hawk Down. It's a war movie. And there's a scene where bullets are flying everywhere in the air. And the colonel says to the sergeant, get in that Jeep and drive. And the sergeant says, but I'm shot, colonel, I'm shot, I can't drive. To which the colonel responds, everybody's shot. Get in that car and drive. Everybody's been shot. Everyone is wounded. All of us have suffered a deep bruise. Peggy Noonan says these words, it's the one thing we all have in common. We've all been shot. The Kaiser Foundation has done a study that right now, one out of every two people is struggling with some form of mental challenge, mental illness, mental or emotional health issue, depression, anxiety, anger. 4 in 10 parents report that their children are experiencing at least one new mental health symptom in the past 12 months that they had not experienced before those 12 months. The Centers for Disease Control tell us that one out of four young adults, right now, one out of four young adults has seriously contemplated taking their own life. Domestic violence has become more common and more severe. And we're tired. Anybody tired? Just raise your hand. If you're tired, you can raise your hand. I'm tired. I'm tired too. Remember when your kids were little and they would get tired? Do you remember this? And you would go to like a party and you wanted to enjoy the party and you wanted to have fun at the party, and then like 7:30 would come or nap time would come and they would be tired and your little kid would just be screaming. That's what we all sounded like when we were little kids. And you know what the moms all say? Oh, he's just tired. Just like little kids, I think we're all tired too. We're all tired too. I've been going to school board meetings because I'd rather do that than watch reruns of Andy Griffith right now in my life. And so I've been going to school board meetings, and there was a mom who was sharing, and in the midst of her sharing, she just said, "I can't take it anymore." And I said, "Amen to that." What do you do when the bullets are flying and the cannonballs are over the house? What do you do when you can't take it anymore? When everybody's been shot, when everybody's been wounded, when we all suffered a deep bruise, you need steady. You need a steady place. You need a steady Savior. And you need steady truth. You need to know that God's comfort produces confidence. You need to know that God is in control no matter what. You need to know that the church will prevail, friends. The church will prevail. And you need to know that Christ will return. So I want to tackle this first steadying truth today. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all, let's say it together. We can say it better than that. The God of all. Every time that word shows up, I want you to say it. The God of all comfort, who what? Comforts us in all our troubles so that we can those in any trouble with the we ourselves receive from God. Praise be to God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble. There are three words that stood out to me in this little, short little passage as Paul is speaking. Here's the first one. The first one is comfort. Comfort. This shows up again and again and again and again. 29 times in 2 Corinthians, the writer uses this word comfort. Comfort that is available. Comfort that is right there for you. He talks about comfort for all of us. This is comfort that doesn't just make us feel better. It's comfort that makes us feel stronger. But then there's another word, and the word is comfort and then trouble. Because we all have some trouble in our lives. Trouble is a weighty word. It's overwhelming, crushing pressure. It's the struggles of life. It's bad news. It's horrible health report. It's job loss. It's income challenged. It's all of those things, struggle and then trouble. But then the little word jumped off the page to me, comfort and trouble. And then see, it's highlighted yellow. What's that word? All. He's not just the God of comfort. He is the God of what kind of comfort? All comfort. All of the above. This is not just comfort for minor league troubles. This is all comfort for all troubles. There are zero troubles that you are facing right now that God cannot comfort. Zero. If you're sick, there's comfort. If you're out of money, there's comfort. If he walks out, there's comfort. If she walks out, there's comfort. If you hit rock bottom, there's comfort. If you're hated and despised, there's comfort. If you're discouraged and deflated, there's comfort. In fact, you need to write this down. This is like the most important thing I'm going to say today. It'll be on the screen. That God gives you all the comfort you need for all the troubles you face. God gives you, let's say it together, God gives you all the comfort you need for all the troubles you face. In fact, let's make it even more personal. Make it me. God gives me all the comfort I need for all the troubles I face. The more comfort you need, the more comfort you'll experience, which begs the question, what does comfort look like? What does it mean to receive God's comfort? Now, there's a couple of pictures that might come to mind. One is of a blanket. You might picture laying down on your couch this afternoon for your Sunday afternoon siesta. In our house growing up, we called it the Wesleyan hour because my dad was a Wesleyan pastor and he would lay down and take a nap. And you might lay down with a comforter. That's what we think of when we think of comfort. But that's a picture of comfort. As if God's comfort is like a ever-expanding blanket. But there's a better picture. The picture that Paul is talking about here isn't like a nice blanket, though blankets are good. It's a comfort that comes alongside. The Greek word here literally is the picture of the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of us to help us. The comfort of God is not just a comfort that covers us. It is a comfort that comes alongside of us and honestly pours his strength into our lives. That's comfort. It's a picture of a God that would leave the throne room of heaven, come down to earth, send his Holy Spirit to come alongside anyone who needs comfort. And I'm worked up this morning. I am. I know I am. I'm worked up because every day I talk to people who are trying to take this journey of life on their own. And I just want to say the answer is Jesus. The answer in this moment is to trust Jesus more fully with your life, to allow Jesus to be your comforter, to come alongside. I love this picture. In Greek and Roman mythology, the gods of those days, they were too high and lofty to get involved with the riffraff like us. But you want to know what makes God amazing? Part of what I think makes God amazing is he came all the way downstairs to comfort his people. In fact, it says that he knows the number of hairs on your head. Ron Ulmer, it doesn't take him that long to count when he gets to you, but he counts the, I just wanted to make sure Ron was awake, he counts the number of hairs on your head. It says he's engraving your name in his hands, and he says, I love you. God's comfort means to come alongside another and to provide them with strength. And not just strength that they have, like, you know, buck up and you can get it. No, it's the strength of the one who's coming alongside. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Imagine that you're sitting at the base of a staircase. And you're looking up this very steep staircase, and at the top of the staircase is an elderly individual. They're frail, they're weak, they're walking with a walker, and you see them, and you see them come to the stop top of the staircase, and imagine with me just for a moment that you shout up to them, hey, use the handrail. That's not comfort. Or, hey, be careful. That's not comfort. Comfort happens when you get up and you go up and you come alongside and you physically help them down the stairs. That's comfort. God's comfort means we come alongside, that God comes alongside us and he provides us with strength. And Paul's not just talking about this in some theory. It is real. I'll save you the time, but I summarize it. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29 or so, you would read all these words. Go ahead and put them on the screen, Inga. He goes through everything that he's facing in his life. You say, well, it's easy for Paul to say he has all the comfort of God. He never faced anything. Read it. He was in prison more frequently, flogged more severely. He faced death multiple times, beaten with rods three times. Anybody beaten with rods this week? Nope, didn't think so. He was pelted with stones. He was shipwrecked. Anybody been shipwrecked this week? Not in a canoe, not in the river, not like ankle deep in the Namakagan. I'm talking shipwrecked. I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I'm not going to ask that because some of you probably did that this week. You've been constantly on the move. Danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from fellow Jews, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at sea, and danger from false believers. That's about everywhere you can be in danger. Paul says, everything I faced, and oh, by the way, besides all else, every day I face this pressure in my life. My concern for all the churches. And then you fast forward a chapter, and Paul says, there is something else. I have this thing in my life. Go to the next slide. It's either a thing or a person. We don't know, but I have this thorn in my side. And this thorn in my side won't go away. And I've pleaded with God for it to go away three times. I have said, God, would you take this thing away from me? And God says these words to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, my comfort is made perfect in weakness. It's sufficient. Some of you need to hear this today. God has all the comfort you need for all the troubles you face. So if you're facing like an ordinary day, and you just say, I need like, I don't even know what this is, I need like a quarter cup of comfort, God's right there, and he provides it. But then let's say you go through your day and you get some bad news. God says, I'll provide even more comfort. I'll provide even more comfort. Or let's say you're having a, like Alexander back in that kid's book, a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day. God says, I'll provide that 16 ounces of comfort. I'll provide all of that. Or you say, well, listen, I got even bigger problems today. Like he just walked out. I need more comfort. And God says, I will provide all the comfort you need, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God gives you all the comfort you need for all the troubles you face. But what if you face like level 5 comfort? What if everything blows up? What if everything falls apart? I think it's like God says, I have all the comfort you need. I Googled, what's the biggest biggest dump truck in the world? And this is what came up. You can fit 20 school buses in this truck. And I can picture God saying, you got a day like that? Here's all the comfort you need for all the trouble you face. All the comfort you need for all the comfort, all the trouble you face. But here's the deal, and I got to wrap this up. He doesn't comfort us for our own sake. It's like, oh, look at me, I'm comforted. It's not that. If you read the verse again, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Why does God comfort us in all our troubles? So that we can comfort others. So that we can comfort others that are in any trouble with the same comfort that we received from God. Listen, it'll be on the screen. God wants you to share this comfort with others. In fact, God's comfort is not just to make you comfortable. It is to make you a comforter. You say, well, I just want to feel comfortable. I don't want to be a comforter. Now, God says, you know what? If you've received anything from me, if you have done anything at all, if you've received anything at all that I've passed on to you, then I want you to make my joy complete, and I want you to be like-minded, and I want you to take the comfort that you've received, and I want you to share it with others. If you have been there, done that, got the t-shirt, then I want you to say, you know what? I'm going to share it with somebody else. That's why groups matter. That's why it matters that you're in a circle and not just a row. Because there comes a point where we take what we've been given and we share it with others. That's why gathering matters. Not just to walk in this room and say, okay, Chad, like, tell me a story, tell me the stuff. No, no, no. That's why gathering matters. So I want to close in this way. You may not feel steady today, but God is. You may not feel steady today, but God is. He is not flustered. And God has all the comfort you need for all the trouble you face. I'd like you to bow your heads with me if you would. Where do you most need steady in your life right now? Where is it that you most need steady? I'm going to give you 3.5 minutes of steady. It was actually this song that I'm going to play for you that that really made me think about this series more. And I listened to it about 2 months ago, and I was like, I want to talk about that. Whatever it is you most need steady, ask God to come alongside. He's not an uninvited guest in our lives. We ask him, we respond to him, we repent and we turn and we follow after him, and then he sends his comforter to be with us. And today, as we listen to this song, you might want to kneel right where you are. You might want to come down here to the front and kneel here in the front. I encourage you just to respond as you feel led this morning to do so. We're going to listen to a song, and then we're going to sing an amazing song about the grace of God. Wherever it is that you most need steady, would you trust him with it today? Because God has all the comfort you need for all the trouble you face. Let's listen to this song together. Steady.
you steady, Jesus, steady.
Thank you.